When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Comic books, comic time. Writers and artists are on the line. They make a splash as a comic's read and take us on a trip behind the spread. Watch out for comic book commentary. Spinning a winning inside fix, how they got a hot idea. Narrative, character, visual tricks, and bam, onomatopoeia. Uh-huh. It's comic book commentary.
Hey there, I'm Chip Zdarsky, and I'm going to be giving the writer's commentary to Daredevil number one. So we're going to start off with the cover, because that's where people start off with things like this, I'm assuming. So cover artist, we went through a lot of choices and settled on Julian Tedesco, because he's the best. He can paint pretty much anything. He can make things fun and light or dark and mysterious, but the main reason we picked him is because he's good at interpretive illustration, coming up with concepts, because a lot of this series is going to be a little difficult to pin down to a single visual for each issue, so I needed somebody that could interpret the scripts and come up with more of a visual metaphor for the covers. So yeah, he's our number one pick. He's the best, and every cover is gorgeous. The logo is the classic Daredevil logo, but slightly reinterpreted by me. I wanted something that was that could be played a bit larger, kind of extending beyond the borders. So I attempted a few different types of logos and nothing was really working. And I realized like the classic is the best. And so I just kind of cleaned up, some elements and, I made it a bit more, angled, to make it a bit more dynamic for covers. And yeah. And Marvel's been great with kind of letting me handle stuff like that, which is fantastic. So if you hate it, that's me. All right. So page one, the first scene is kind of introducing Matt without actually seeing him. You know, as a reader, you kind of already know it's Matt. But I like the idea of setting up a scene where he's clearly just finished beating someone up for being a bad person. And now he's settling into the bar for a drink. And having him kind of flirt with this woman and she flirts back. Really plays into his kind of man of mystery shtick that he does so well. And so on the next page, page two, we kind of reveal that he's popping some pills to go with his drink as a result of the accident at the end of Charles's run. So, you know, we want to reference it while not depending on it to tell the story, but it really helps set up what we've got going on here. So, I'm pretty happy with the introduction of Matt here. I'm super happy with, his, that would be illegal line, which kind of sums up, Matt and Daredevil, the character, the lawyer who follows the law, and the vigilante who doesn't. So yeah, it felt like a nice kind of introduction to the character, through this bar scene, taking somebody who's, you know, usually pretty refined suit and tie lawyer and just having him be a little bit lower at this stage. You know, Marco's amazing stubble and Robert Redford hair, making him seem a bit more like the kind of guy who's hanging out in the bar. So next page is the recap page. And, again, Marvel let me design it, which is awesome. I wanted to do something that kind of contrasted what was going to be the dark tone of the series by giving you kind of the burst of red and the radar motif. I feel like because this is the first chapter of a novel in a lot of ways, that I really wanted to emphasize the title of the arc. So I made that kind of the boldest, biggest thing here. And yeah, once again, they let me do it. Crazy. So throughout the issue, starting here with page 3, we've got some flashbacks to Matt's youth. I like the idea of kind of giving reader backstory on Matt, but not being super obvious about it. You know, I didn't want to necessarily show you know, him getting blinded and developing the powers and putting on the suit, but tying in his Catholicism in the flashbacks and kind of hinting at things a bit more, I felt like was a better way to go with this kind of revelation. So yeah, we're in the church and we meet the priest that'll be kind of used throughout the issue, and also Jack Murdock, which, you know, is kind of a fascinating figure, the single dad who's the boxer, who's maybe not the best dad to Matt, but he also recognizes that Matt needs some sort of structure that he can't provide, so hence him dumping him at church. And and we get the first sense of Matt possibly committing his first crime as in the pursuit of justice by getting the baseball cards back from Jeremy Colton. I like the idea of having, you know, the priest kind of empathize with Matt and get into scripture a little bit about Jesus and Caesar and the idea of the two kingdoms, kingdom of God and, you know, the material world and its laws, and how you kind of have to obey both. But even still, the priest knows, like, what Matt did was right in terms of what true justice is, not just the laws of man. So yeah, we cut back on page 5 to, you know, brooding Matt back in his apartment after going home with the woman from the bar, Rose. And I wanted to kind of like contrast the character. So we have, you know, brooding Matt is interesting, but it only goes so far. So to have Rose just kind of be a bit more casual about everything while Matt sits on the edge of the bed thinking about, you know, what he's done, his past, and, you know, him getting better and stuff like that. I felt like it worked for a good contrast, and also sets up that Matt is, like, you know, kind of bouncing back. And I find personally in my life, when I go through something or have a bad breakup or something, I tend to rebound in the realms of casual hookups. And yeah, is it good? Is it bad? I'm not here to judge. Matt is, you know, Matt's doing what Matt does. And Rose just kind of has fun with it. Originally, the scene I wrote had kind of more sexiness to it. I had Rose tell a story that was possibly a little graphic, a little mature, and I fought for it to go in, and then at the end I'm the one that pulled it out because I realized that it was it felt too soon to go that mature in the book. Like, it was kind of setting up the tone a bit too much, like, hey, check it out, this ain't your grandpa's Daredevil. So I toned it down a fair amount here, and I'm glad I did. You know, we play a little bit with the idea of, like, her possibly sleeping with him because he's blind, and Matt, you know, clearly states for her to not make his disability her fetish. And it's the muscles, but, you know, there is the element of women especially being judged for their looks. You know, this woman here is, you know, stunning, because Marco does not know how to draw someone that's not stunning. So part of her draw to Matt was the fact that he can't judge her on her looks. You know, there's something to picking somebody up based 100% solely on your charm, which is, you know, kind of the reality of the situation. But, you know, as has been pointed out by Daredevil writers in the past, usually through Foggy's dialogue, the fact that Matt's blind doesn't seem to get in the way of the fact that he ends up with stunning women all the time. And this is no exception. So I'm kind of playing with that a little bit here. And it's nice to have Matt just kind of like, you know, drop the brooding a little bit by the end of the page with a bit of a smile to show that he's kind of on the road to recovery. So yeah, next page, page 7. The introduction of our New York cops, and that they're not very good. I really like writing the cops so far in the series, you know, because they're various types, and here we see kind of the younger rookie and the veteran who doesn't want the hassle of the paperwork, because yeah, of course, like as soon as you write Daredevil down on your police report. That's just going to be a pain in the ass because you're never going to catch Daredevil, but yet you still have to go through with it. So, so his advice to not put Daredevil on leads us into, the revelation of our new character, Cole North, which you see fully on the next page, page 8. And, Cole is, this is the first appearance of Cole. It's a character I made just for, the storyline. I like the idea of the cop that sees things in black and white. And if you're a cop that sees things in black and white, then the guy who dresses as the devil going around beating up criminals falls on the side of something you would be against. And so Cole takes that kind of hardline stance. And we kind of learn more about Cole as we go along and why he feels kind of strongly about this. But in Charles' run, the police force has been kind of decimated, so they're bringing in cops from other cities, and so he's from Chicago to kind of set things straight. So I like on page 9 his confrontation with the potentially dirty cop. I don't get to write tough guy dialogue too often, so him talking about calling in the second ambulance was a lot of fun. And Marco, like, you know, it's the perfect faces for this, you know, Cole being tough and the Weasley cop just sweating. Yeah, he's so good at expression and getting across the emotion of the characters. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, he's the best to work with on a book like this. So, you know, at the end of page 9, we kind of get his reasoning, about Daredevil and zones in on the idea that Daredevil likes to beat people up. Like there's a clear desire to do this, which is really what makes it wrong. Yeah, so page 9, we're setting up Cole and kind of his dislike, distrust of vigilantes. And so for the series, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about whether the ends justify the means. And especially when it comes to violence, the kind of addictive, primal nature of violence and whether or not you can kind of come back from that. So yeah, so that's Cole. And then we move on to page 10, which is another flashback. So it's Matt, obviously just after being blinded, though we don't explicitly say it, but, I think you can kind of understand. And yeah, it's kind of the first time we really get kind of a sense of Matt's struggle with what's happened to him and his relationship with God. And I think when somebody goes through something as monumentally devastating as this, your instinct is to lash out at God. And so, you know, we show the priest consoling him. And, you know, I think it's kind of an important scene to just kind of show his connection to the church and how he's kind of able to move past this. And surely once he realizes that, you know, he's got the gifts, that, you know, all these crazy noises that he's hearing is actually kind of a blessing. The assumption is beyond this scene is when he kind of looks as God is gifting him. Which means, you know, maybe he's the hands of God then, which comes into play later. So yeah, we go to page 12, you know, Rose has left. It's just Matt alone. And I want to get a sense of him post-accident, feeling trapped. Like, if you've ever been in the hospital for almost anything that leaves you incapacitated, it's a terrible feeling, like not being able to move, react the way you want to. So this is him now able to move around, but everything kind of feels like a trap to him, like a cage. And this is kind of where we first bring in the radar sense and the feelings of it. I really like writing the scenes where Matt uses his senses and his radar sense, because finding ways to describe that is an interesting challenge. And on this page, you know, we talk about like the rattling off the windows and the change of temperature through it. Kind of almost like beckoning Matt. And Marco, you know, just kills it on this page. Like, I love the last two panels of him with his eyes closed, so gloriously hunky, and then kind of opening up, and you know what's coming. And the next page, you get it. It's him in the suit in the issue for the first time. Splash page. We had some debate over whether or not there should be captions over this, dialogue, whatever. But it works so well, I think, as a just a piece of art. Like, this is the kind of image that I think, you know, could be a poster for Marvel, could be like an image that they use of Daredevil for a variety of things. Like, it's Marco and Sonny on colors. Like, he really makes the red pop with the kind of greeny blue behind him. Such a beautiful rendering. I love it so much. It could be, yeah, an iconic Daredevil moment, hopefully. So yeah, page 14, it's, you know, Matt doing his thing, patrolling around town, like kind of describing Hell's Kitchen and what happens to Hell's Kitchen when he's not around, and that he needs to be seen, which is, you know, it's kind of a scary idea, just the idea of like this character as like a big brother figure, kind of making his way around town, hoping people see him so they don't do anything bad. But it's how he operates. And I really wanted to make sure that, you know, the guy who's shown to see him is like just like a, clearly just a dad at home with his kid. So it's not just criminals that see him and are kind of intimidated by him. It's everyone. We also, you know, drop in a Mayor Fisk, a billboard in the background to let you know that that's still a thing, which is one of my favorite parts from Charles's run. So I'm glad we're continuing it here. On the next page is where we get the first kind of glimpse at Daredevil. Maybe isn't up to speed, not quite making the jump, which, you know, is kind of an important part of this issue and the run. Panel three on this page is one where there's some deliberation as well, whether or not that should be in like radar sense or we should show the dialogue that he's hearing. But I kind of like the idea of alternating between showing you that kind of Matt's POV, but also just the POV of somebody else. Like, we as the reader don't hear what he's hearing, to indicate that the robbery is three blocks away. So yeah, off he goes to stop the robbery. So page 16, it's him in action. It ties into what Cole talks about earlier, where he talks about instilling fear here and that he's missed it. Like, he likes that feeling. So Cole's not far off the mark when he talks about the fact that Daredevil enjoys this, and that kind of ties it in. So yeah, I also like playing with the idea that gunshots, he would not like them very much with his enhanced senses. I think that's a thing that, you know, people often overlook when writing Daredevil, is just like the negative qualities of being able to hear so well. So yeah. So the fight is underway. And on the next page, page 17, we see him make another misstep, missing the punch and then getting punched in return. And yeah, things start to go downhill pretty quickly for him. So on page 18, you know, the fight gets a bit more kind of intense, and he even like loses track of how many people he's fighting. And, you know, there's still the loud noises and, you know, things, again, just kind of getting out of control. on page 19, you know, we opted, very similar to the splash page, to leave this without sound effects or captions or anything. We just wanted like people to like really be immersed in him getting overwhelmed here. I really love Marco's radar vision of the guy in the bottom left. It's so great. The way Marco works is, you know, he does the black and white, and then he does the color, but there are key things where Marco will do them in color as he envisions them, and so the radar sense stuff falls into that, and things like, you know, lighting effects sometimes, and fire. So yeah, so by page 20, here we are. You know, he's beaten them, but kind of at what cost? Liquor store's on fire. Cops are coming. There's nothing he can do. If he stays, he's going to get arrested. So so he hightails it. And page 21, I love this page. I think in the script I described it as just a series of wide panels because I'm unimaginative, and I find wide panels are kind of the easiest way to create, I don't know, a sense of cinema, I guess, in comics. But Marco wisely did these vertical panels, which are just gorgeous and really gives the feeling of kind of like the fire rising and Daredevil high up above. It's a beautiful, beautiful page. And it's him realizing, you know, okay, maybe I'm not quite ready. I've got to be better than this. We also dropped the fact that he was recently the mayor, which is another facet to Matt Murdock. Page 22, a final flashback. You know, it's Matt in the Man Without Fear era. And you know, coming to the priest with the fact that he is committing these acts of violence now. And trying to justify it with the story of Jesus driving out the money changers from the temple. But, you know, the catch there, sorry, is, as the priest points out, you know, Jesus was the Son of God and you're just a man. And while Matt thinks he's possibly the hands of God, what proof is there of that? You know, what proof is there that this isn't just a man, being violent for violence sake and wrapping it up in some sense of ethics. And that it can be an addiction. You know, the series is going to be a lot about violence and uses of violence and when and where that should happen and what people's responsibilities are in society. And the conversation with the priest here is kind of the crux of it. Whether or not Matt's just an addict for the excitement of it and violence itself was a nice side effect of thinking that it's strictly just to help people. So yeah, so that's 23. Then we go to 24, and here's where the kind of the wide panels really come in handy for switching scenes. It's a lot easier to do that, I find, with the wide panels than it is for panels side by side. And we see Wilson Fisk for the first time. And I really like setting up the fact that his life is a little bit mundane now as mayor, with Wesley kind of telling him what's happening during the day. And we counter that with, you know, a scene with a bit more kind of excitement on street level with Cole visiting the scene of the crime. And on page 25, Cole gets the Billy Club. So that ties Daredevil to this for sure. And Wilson Fisk is reveling in the news story that indicates that Daredevil was the cause of this. And then we go to the next page, which is Matt back at home, blood on the bed. It's kind of the opposite of the splash page of him swinging as Daredevil. This is him very much not swinging as Daredevil, beaten up and trying to recover. But the news is out there now that one of the guys in the fight has died. So this is, I've described it before kind of online, that this is the first chapter of a novel. You know, there's no crazy wild twists in this. Like, Daredevil didn't grow horns. He didn't murder Wilson Fisk. Which, you know, I didn't want to kind of create the kind of artificial hype for issue one here. I just wanted to tell a really good story, I think, and with amazing art, and give you a taste of what's to come. So there's repercussions clearly coming for Matt and Daredevil, and it's going to take him on a pretty weird journey. And I hope everyone's kind of along for the ride. So yeah, so that's the issue. But there's still more in this comic. As we flip the page, we see the next issue page, which again is something I redesigned. I find generally a next issue page a little awkward, kind of the use of real estate of the page, because the cover is usually run without logos on it, and then around the cover is like, you know, buy the next issue, out on this date, whatever. And it always kind of looks a bit awkward to me. So I wanted to make sure that we kind of utilize the next issue cover, but also utilize the space where the logo is supposed to go. So yeah, the radar thing will kind of move depending on the layout of the next issue cover. But I really wanted to kind of carry through the concentric circle motif of the radar vision from the recap page. Yeah, maybe I think about this stuff a little too much. I don't know. But for me, it just kind of makes it feel a bit more cohesive, and also just highlights Julian's amazing cover art, and recontextualizes it. So it's now like a new piece of art, which I like. So yeah, after that, we got a little four pager by up and coming artist Chip Zdarsky. Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, I'm looking at this as a PDF, but it's supposed to be printed in spreads, which I'm hoping is what what actually happened, or else it's not going to make a lot of sense. So I wanted the two spreads where you can look kind of back and forth between the two kind of identical pages, but one is what's happening from a non-superhuman point of view, and then the other is through Matt's point of view with the enhanced senses. And to set it up in such a way where you don't get the full story looking at either of the pages, but you get it from looking at both of them. You know, instances like in panel four, the guy talking on the phone, you know, maybe you can't read it because it's too tiny, but then when you look on the other spread, you can clearly make out what he's saying. I love stuff like that. And, you know, this might be a bit too weird for a Daredevil comic, but I'm happy they let me do it. My favorite bit is the final panel of this first page, him tapping the copper pipe. I think one of the things I kind of want to bring back and stress is the idea of his radar sense really involving sound waves, air pressure, but like mostly kind of sound waves to help define the area for him, like a echolocation. So him tapping the pipe and then creating the sonic waves. So when we flip to the next page, you can see that, you know, that radar sense has kind of filled the room, so we can see the guy coming on the next series of spreads, or I guess the next spread. The middle panels, originally I was going to make them all black in the more literal version, but I spent too long drawing it to make them 100% black because I'm a coward. And yeah, and so, you know, it's kind of a straightforward idea, and the kind of the warmth and the heartbeat of the child at the end and the last panel with the warmth kind of emanating seemed like a nice kind of way to tie that up. Yeah, I hope people like that. Yeah, and then letters page, which, you know, our dear editor Devin asked me if I wanted to write a thing on the letters page and answer people's questions going forward on the letters page, and I said no, not because I don't love people, but I want the story to just be the story, and I want people to engage with it how they're going to engage with it, and I don't want to be in too much of a position to have to explain every step of the way, or because most of the questions are like, when will so-and-so appear? It's almost like every question you get at conventions, questions you get online when you open your messages. And I get it because people have favorite characters, but I don't want to ruin any kind of anticipation. So yeah, so Devin wrote a really lovely kind of intro to the series here, and I thank him for that. And let's see, do we have any more pages after this? No, we don't, which means I'm done. So yeah, thank you very much for listening to my droning nasal voice barely explain Daredevil number one. And issue two is probably my favorite Marvel comic I've written. So I hope you guys pick that up and enjoy this first arc. Thanks.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.